Thank you. us all stand this morning? How many is thankful to be in the house of the Lord? You love Him? Amen. God is good. Let's sing that song, Above All Powers, Above All Kings. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men.
You took the fall.
I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to you, oh, praises to this I stand.
It's all about you, Jesus. Himself in light, oh, and darkness
Softly, we're going to take our needs to the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother John James, be ready to take these needs to the Lord for us. Amen. Let's remember those who are traveling today. Let's remember our pastor as he's taking a time of rest and recuperation, and just pray that he would be a blessing in the parts of the world that he's traveling and ministering. And just pray that him and Sister Becky would have a wonderful time and come back rejuvenated and ready to bring the word to us. Amen. Have a special need here, says Sister Ruby Kumar is needing a touch this morning. So let's pray for her, whatever that need is. We're just going to hold her up in prayer and just pray that God would intercede. We'll pray for Brother Troy, always remembering our brother and the Drum family. Certainly want to be remembering them. Sister Carrie Whitlock, praying for her and her special need. And Sister Tina is always in my prayers too, praying that God would intercede for them. Amen. That's all I have for me at this time. If you would have an unspoken prayer request, we can make it known. Amen. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you've heard the needs brought before the people, Lord, and so many miracles in this church, Lord. Brother Keith here on the organ, Lord, just every time I see him, Lord, I think about what you've done for him, and I know that you're not done yet, Lord. I think about all the miraculous things I've seen here, Lord, and I just know that you are able to come through today for these special needs that we've requested, Lord, and the many, many on our hearts, Lord Jesus. The sorrow, suffering, anxiety, depression. Lord, there's just so many needs that in this human condition that we go through, but we have someone to call on, Lord, and we're calling on you today. Bless the furtherance of this service, that it may be more than just a church service today, Lord Jesus, that we might just commune with you, Lord, in a real way, something that's beyond just playing church, Lord, something that touches our soul and refreshes us for the week. Help us minister that to others as we go through the week and through our day, Lord. We just thank you for your many mercies and your many blessings in this church and among your body of Christ, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. You may have your seats. We've kept you standing a long time. Let's just worship. Continue to worship him, and let's sing that song, musicians. You are God alone. Just Jesus. Thank you. Well, you are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And
you are God, Lord, from before time.
Trevor, come out, deliver the word today. We're just excited to see what he has to offer, to give us. I'm sure he's been studying and laboring, so let's just pull on the gifts that God has before us this morning. Thank you for the cross, one of my favorites. Let's sing that together. It means so much to me, this song. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you. And just before our brother comes, just wanted to make one announcement. We're going to sing that song, Blessed Be Your Name, Brother Matt. You can get that queued up there. On the family day, this is just a note for that. The deacons are wanting me to make mention that the liability waivers will not be collected ahead of time. So if you would please take them with you to turn at the site on the day of the event. So just bring those waivers with you the day of that and turn those in at that time. So just be mindful of that. And now we're glad to have Brother Trevor. God bless you, brother. So let's sing that as our Brother Trevor comes. Blessed be, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your name. Let your people proclaim you are holy.
Chapter 1 this morning. Certainly happy to be back here at Hickory Bible Tabernacle. I was just kind of looking out at different faces, and I was like, wow, it's been just long enough for me to forget a lot of people's names, but certainly not their faces. But it's a struggle to try to, you know, be gone for 9-10 months and go, oh yeah, wait, I don't know. So you forgive me if in the parking lot I don't remember. I know who you are, I just maybe don't remember your name, but happy to be here again and fill in for Brother Barry. Asked him if he had anything he wanted to say, and he just said, just tell everybody I miss him and looking forward to coming back. And so there you go. Message delivered. That's all I got. So, but I'm just happy to be here again. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1, we look at verse 1. And verse 14, very familiar to us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'd just like to take a title this morning of When the Law Became a Person. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just approach the Word and the thoughts that You've put on my heart, Lord, to deliver, Father, we just ask that You would be in every phrase and every line, Lord Jesus. We ask that You would be resonant and present in the hearts and lives of the believers here, Lord God, that You would, Lord, that You would take distractions from our minds, Father, that we would, Lord, if there was ever a morning that we could see You in Your glory, Lord God, if there was ever a morning where we came to church, Lord, may this be the morning, Lord, that, oh God, that You pull back the doubt and the fears and anxieties, Lord, that we can just behold You for who You are, Lord God. Lord, that we could catch a fresh revelation and a fresh vision, Lord, of all that You want us to know about who You are and who we are in You, Lord God. Father, I just pray that You'd anoint us for this and bless this service now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And you may be seated. So when the law became a person, we'll look at a few thoughts that David has here. Psalm chapter 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Amen. So we're starting early with that. I mean, I am just like David. I don't know about you, but this is my testimony. Lord, I love your law, and I think about the law all the time. I am just constantly meditating on law. You know, I go to Exodus chapter 20, and I start looking at the Ten Commandments, and that's where I'm at all day, Lord, and I love that. So maybe we're not all like David. Okay, I hate vain thoughts. Hey, I'm with you, David. But thy law do I love. And so these are certainly these are ideals that we would want to have. Certainly this is the kind of, we know that this is coming from a man who had the heart after God. And so, man, I want that in my life. I want to be known as a man who just his heart just cried out after God, who is a man after God's own heart and just pursued God. And this is what David is doing, is actually he is enacting by meditating on the law of God, he is enacting that in his mind and in his body, all that God has placed within his heart. He has a heart that loves God. He has a heart that seeks after God. And we can see that and know that because of his actions. Praise the Lord. And so we want to look at these things, but we want to just, you know, and maybe I've talked about these kinds of things here before, but we want to look at, well, law and loving law. And usually, you know, these two words, love, the law, you know, three words, that's just not usually how we think. That's not usually where we go to, because the law kind of, you know, we oftentimes think of the law as crimping our style, especially as we drive down the freeway. You know, these are laws that we think, well, hey, you know, if I were king for a day, these laws might be a little different. You know, 55 may become 70, 70 may become 85. You know, I grew up in South Dakota, and I moved away from South Dakota just before, like, speed limit went from 75 to 85 or some crazy number that it's actually ridiculously burning gas like crazy if you're driving that fast across the entirety of the state. But I was like, really? Really, now we raise the speed limit when I'm not crossing the state all the time anymore? And, you know, and so we think about law, we think about how it restricts us, how it keeps us from doing maybe those things that we would want to do. Now, not all laws. I mean, there's some laws that we like. And I mean, even speed limits. You know, we can look at speed limits and we think, well, on the freeway, when I'm trying to get somewhere, this law is annoying. But I live in a little town called Sellersburg. And when I was a teenager, Sellersburg was notorious, you know, for pulling over especially young men. I don't know how they figured that out, but, you know, like, I mean, it was just like, oh, man, Sellersburg cops, you know? And that was just, that was the thing in our area. It's like, hey, be careful through Sellersburg. Those Sellersburg cops are going to get you. And I got once, you know, by a Sellersburg cop. And it was early in the morning, and I didn't realize, well, if we're being honest, there was perhaps a pattern that had been enacted in my life that eventually I came. That was the issue more than did I know that stretch of road was 55 or 35. Well, that's probably less really the issue. But, and so it was like, oh man, those Sellersburg cops got me. And then I moved. But when I was a young man, I didn't live in Sellersburg. But then I moved to Sellersburg and I brought my young family to Sellersburg. And suddenly it's like, go Sellersburg cops, you know, get them, because my kids play here. And so sometimes our view of the law, our perspective of the goodness of the law can change based on where we are, who we are, what our perspective is, what our situation is, right? So we have to think about these things. And so often, though, we have... we find ourselves struggling with law, and none of us would really often say, I just love the law. You know, well, there's that thou shalt not murder thing. We love that one. I mean, and we're so thankful that our society is generally based upon scriptural law, because you feel safe going out your front door in the morning, and you know that you have the general expectation that no one will murder you, generally, and that's because of law. And so, and we love that. We like that. Amen. And so, like David, we can say, "Lord, thy law do I love." Until such times as those laws begin to be a bit more of a burden and a bit more of a bear, you know, just something that I have to bear, and I don't really, I wish I could throw this law away because it's conflicting with what I want. And when that happens, do you love the law? Or do we begin to change our view of that thing? So, you know, but there are, as we just continue to look at the law and you know, we're a society and we're built upon laws here in the United States of America. Is that right? That's nice, you know. But you know, I wonder how many, some people are good at following the law. Is there anybody in here that feel like you're good at, nobody feels like you're good at following the law? Okay. Okay, that's fine. I'll just say that you, standing before you, you may think, well, Brother Trevor, you know, you've got man of God aura going on and all of this stuff, and you are probably so compliant, and it's just so natural to you to follow laws because you're so good in ministry and all of that stuff. And I would tell you that I have you fooled completely, because standing before you is probably one of the biggest rebels you know. I don't comply easily. You don't, you know, I'm the kind of guy who sees a sign, you know, that says, you know, no people past this point, you know, and then I grab my phone and I take a selfie with me on the other side of the sign, you know, because that's what one does with such a sign. Now, maybe I'm not going a mile past that. You know, maybe there's a good idea, there's a reason there's a sign there, but you know, it's like I need to be invested in the thing you're telling me to do, or I don't do it so willingly. I, you know, it's just like, don't touch this. It's like, was it something bad gonna happen? Like, is that, like, are we being extreme here? I just want to find out, you know, am I going to lose my finger? Where's the line here? And so I need to be brought into the idea. I need to find out what's the deal behind the law, because I don't comply well. Look, young people, I can tell you, I remember a few years back being a young person, such as yourselves. And I remember the kind of preachers that would come and be like, don't do these things. And it was just like, yeah, you're right. I'm with you. You have convinced me I will never do that, because you pointed your finger and man of godly said, don't do this. And yeah, okay, I'll just never touch that in my entire life. That was not me. I'm not saying that I went and just like, well, because he pointed his finger, I'm going to go do exactly what he said not to do. I wasn't that crazy, but I just didn't, I'm just like, there was something in me that's just like, not good enough, man. Like, you got way more work to convince me that I should never do that than you just telling me, God says don't do this, so don't do it. I need more. And I think if we're honest, we all do. Right? And so here we are in the United States of America, and we are a people of laws, and we enjoy the society and prosperity that we have. But we also, we can't forget the fact that our nation is almost literally founded in rebelling against law. So, you know, imagine Patrick Henry, you know, like, oh, Britain, thy law do I love. It just, no, he was like, no, give me liberty or give me death. I mean, we're literally a country of rebels. Like we exist as a political entity because we rebelled. And we're happy about that. So we got David's like, thy law do I love. This is the Christian way. This is how we should be. If we have a heart that's after God, we should love the law. But man, are we happy about being rebels. And that exists in the same person. And oh my, interesting. You know, and so, well, let's continue on with a little bit more here from the message, the token. The message Brother Branham said was one of the highlights of his ministry, something like that. He says, full obedience to the whole word of God entitles you to the token, nothing else. Good amens. That's good. Is this something worth amening? Absolutely. And we believe this. We believe to hold the word of God up in such a high place that to think anything else, to think otherwise, that the whole word of God and the entirety of our obedience to that word of God is that thing that produces what enables us to receive the token. It is part of that whole process. And so then I would just ask, well, yeah, this is just a little look into how Brother Trevor thinks, right? You know, so if I'm you sitting in that seat, I'm thinking, full obedience to the whole word of God entitles me to the token, nothing else, okay? I know I need the token. I got to obey the word of God fully, the whole word of God. Oh, that's going to be hard. Am I going to be able to receive the token? Let's be honest here. Like, if this is the bar, and we know what happens if you don't receive the token, right? You don't take a rapture. How do we feel about this then? When Brother Branham is telling us, and it's this hallmark message of his, that it's a full obedience to the whole word of God entitles you to the token. Nothing else will do it. And you know, as you look in the mirror in the morning, Lord, there's no way. There's no way I am going to bring my life truly into full obedience to the word of God. Lord, I'm going to fail far too many times. So now we have a problem. And what are you going to do? Well, let's talk about what is the law? What is the law for? What is its purpose? What is it doing? How did the law even come about? Well, the law came about because it was spoken by God himself. Just like everything, right? The reason everything, anything exists is because the creative power of God spoke it. So the same thing that said, let there be light, and there was, well, in a sense, that was a law unto itself that was manifested. Because God spoke it, it happened. So the law then, the law as the word of God, as God is speaking a law, it must then have something to do with creative power. It cannot, like the law, cannot merely be that thing which restricts you and molds you and makes sure you don't get out of bounds so that you can go to heaven. You know, that's how we get to heaven, right? Don't go out of bounds. Well, that's full obedience to the... It's complicated, Brother Trevor. Right? But if we begin to open our minds to think about what is David expressing, what is David saying he loves when he says, thy law do I love, is he expressing, Lord, I just really appreciate how you told us, you know, we can't do too much work on Sabbath. Like, that's so great, Lord. I'm so thankful. Is that what I'm so thankful that is that what he's saying? Is like, Lord, I'm so grateful that there's things that we shouldn't do and we don't do those things. And there's things that we should do and we do those things. I'm so glad you specified that which shouldn't be done and that which should be done. I love that, Lord. Is that what he's saying? Or is he recognizing that the law of God is the same thing as the creative power of the spoken word of God? And saying, Lord, that's amazing. And so then if we begin to think about it in that lens or from that context, to recognize that even the law itself, though it does have that which thou should not do and that which thou should do, and it has ways of arranging our physical lives, but yet that cannot be the entirety of its purpose, because it is so much more than that. Because the words of God spoken must be creative power, because they were when he first spoke four words and said, let there be light. That must mean then that Exodus 20 and all 10 of its commandments written down on a table of stone must then themselves have creative power in them. Praise the Lord. And so Romans chapter 10, verses 4 through 11, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ was the manifestation of the law. Christ was the end of it. Christ was its final product, which is to say then that the creative power of the law was manifested in the creation of Jesus Christ himself as a man. Let that one land for a moment. Do we follow that now? Right? Christ is the end of the law. Its purpose, its whole aim, its whole goal is to show Jesus Christ for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So I want to look at these. I want to look at this concept right here. We have the righteousness which is of the law, which Moses is describing. But then we have the righteousness which is of faith. And isn't that exactly what the law is trying to do, is to prescribe those things which are right, in the sense those things which are correct and those things which are not correct. This is what the law is doing. But the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise, who shall ascend? Like the righteousness of faith is saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the righteousness of the law says, do these things right. Do these things correct. So which right, like, do we pick a righteousness, or do we have both of those righteousnesses? And how does that work? Well, let's look at what he says here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Which is to say that we begin to think about this as the law is, we're going to look at this in just a moment, the law, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. The law became a person in the person of Jesus Christ. And so what that is to say then is that the righteousness which is of the law became fulfilled in the person who was the righteousness of faith. That is to say then that there was an external law that governed the people, but there was a heart of God that created the law so that you would know when the fulfillment of that law came, he would meet that law in every single way. Now, the Pharisees didn't understand this. The Pharisees couldn't see this because they had their own ideas of the law that were external. And they were very good at, quote, following the law. They were able to not do this and not do that. And, you know, and then they had, you know, all of their, you know, like, if you, I don't even remember all the things that they could do, you know, but to get around, you know, going too far on a Sunday, they created... You know, it's like they run a string around the whole town and called it, "This string is our house." So you can go anywhere in your house on a Sabbath, you see? So they could follow the law and not follow the law. They were really good at this kind of thing. But here comes Jesus, the full, complete picture of the law manifested in human flesh, and they are completely missing this, but yet he is absolutely doing this because God, so that he can make himself known, is giving us a law so that we can see when the law comes manifested, he will meet all of these things. This is who he is. It's describing his character. Right? We can look at the law and we can say, "Thou shalt not kill." Okay, drat, there's some people I really would like to off. Okay, but wait, does that teach, like, that law, it's annoying. You know, or does the law teach us that the one who gives us this law because he values life? Right? We can look at "thou shalt not lie" and we can say, well, you know, it's kind of convenient sometimes when you've done something and your parents are now found out. Is the Spirit of the Lord ministering to anyone right now? I don't know. You know, and it's just kind of convenient every now and then to be like, you know, "not me. I don't know who did that. You know, like, who broke this thing? I don't know." Yes, you do. You know that. But lying can be very convenient, can get you out of some things until you start believing your own lies, until you've gotten so far down that path that now all of these, like, lies are so, have become such a part of you that you don't even know when you're lying and when you're telling the truth. And if you don't know when you're lying and when you're telling the truth, you have zero foundation. You have zero stability. You don't know if anything's true because you don't even know what's in yourself, what's true and what's a lie. How would you know if anybody told you was true or a lie? And you actually have no idea if any part of existence is truth or lie. That sounds like a lovely way to live. But the character of God says, "thou shalt not lie," so that you can understand he values truth and he's showing you truth is this amazing, fundamental, foundational platform of stability that you must have. Right? And so here we have these things that are described, these are laws, but they're describing his own character. And so then if you can begin to tap into the character of the one, of what these laws are expressing, not just that they don't allow you to do some things and conveniently get out of trouble when something breaks, but that it's actually showing you things about him. And that's wonderful. And so then when he comes and he's manifested in flesh, you can see who he is because he's in such agreement with his own law. And this is what's happening because the law is becoming a person. Now what we're saying is that we had an idea of this externality, this law that's kind of on top of you. But then there was a law of righteousness that was internal because of the heart and character of God. And those two things came and became united and lived in harmony in one person, Jesus Christ. And he manifested both the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith in one person. And there was a unity there, which is to say that every time Jesus just fulfilled the law and didn't do what he shouldn't do, it was all good because he was like, "I didn't want to do that anyway." Because that law became creative power in the character of that person. And this is what God is wanting for us, is he's wanting the character. He's wanting the unity of the law, the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith to come and be manifested in the person so that there's no more, you know, so that, oh my goodness, come on somebody. Now let's just talk about it because we have, let's say we have a law today that maybe we think of as sometimes, like so often we think of this as a different law than this one. Except for everything that we would say this law talks about, I can tell you, you can find it right here. Right. And if you're going to throw this one away, like, let's get the new perforated Bible. You know? Makes it easy. Throw that page away. Right? Right? But so there's often times, though, that we look around, and because comparison is just the thief of joy, we look around and we say, but there's Christians who don't follow this law, and don't they have Jesus, air quotes? And then we begin to chafe because we begin to look at this and we begin, like, wait a second, this message is harder than what they have to do. Amen. Sorry, was that a carnal thought? Like, yeah. Is it one that a lot of us have? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And when we struggle with that and then we wrestle with that, can we be real? Is that okay? Right? And we're wrestling and we struggle with this thing. And you know, sometimes we begin to wonder, like, you know what? You know, this was England before the Stamp Act of 1765. I hope I can use this as an illustration that, you know, we should generally all understand. Like, this was England before 1765 and the Stamp Act and the Townshend Acts. Townshend. I never understood that one. You know, and certainly before the tea tax of 1773, which invested all tea charges into one company. And suddenly, Christianity became too much. It became too hard. And we're ready to throw the message tea overboard. Now, I'm not saying, like, hey, let's just be honest. There are some, how to say this most politically correct. You know, there are some churches that are definitely, you know, throwing King of England vibes, to use the youth lingo here. Like, there are some churches that are definitely pushing far too much, far too hard, totally making an external, pointing the finger, do this, do that, do these things. Well, but bless God, in this church, this is the way it's okay. And then I'm ready to throw what some might call the message tea overboard, except for it's not message tea. Right. Because what I'm saying is when this came and magnified and revealed the full realities of this law, it was never meant, ooh, let's get to that scripture. Where's that one? Okay, that's in a little bit. But it was never meant. It was like the scripture that is Christ, he'll say, I didn't come to condemn you. It was never meant to condemn you. The law was never meant to be too hard. The law, you know, bless God, the law, you've ever been, oh my goodness, I'm going to get so in trouble sometimes with some people. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard some of these churches that, I've been to a few churches, let's just say over 30 years, and it's just been interesting. You know, and some pastors are just like, oh man, here we just preach it so straight. We just preach it so hard so we can just have the true believers here, because we're just going to run the make believers and the unbelievers off because we're going to preach it real, real straight and real hard. And it's like, what scripture was that? Like, I understand what you're trying to say here, but how do you get to know? Maybe you're just really bad at offending a lot of people. Maybe you're just really bad at hurting a lot of people. Anyway, last I checked, the pastor was supposed to be a shepherd. That was supposed to try to go out and get sheep and bring them back into the fold, not cast them out by being too. Anyway, where are we at here? The whole idea was here that the law is an entire, like if you're ready to throw the tea overboard, there's a problem, and we need to address that problem because the answer should not be throw the message tea overboard and live a good American rebel life. Like, Like that, like something's wrong. Maybe the presentation's a little wrong, or maybe you haven't come into that unity of the righteousness of faith. Maybe you haven't begun to recognize the greatness of what he's given to us. Maybe what's being exposed, and maybe the way the creative power of the law is working in your life is by that conflict constantly rubbing you, what is exposing to you is maybe you need to be born again. Maybe you haven't come into the unity of the faith. Maybe you haven't come into the life that was supposed to always be there. Maybe that hasn't quickened in you yet because you're still living in carnality and that law is rubbing against that carnality and you're thinking, this is hard. What's wrong? And the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to be born again. You need to come into this. You need to recognize the reason this law is rubbing against you is to expose something to you. And this is the power of the Holy Ghost to come into you and say, this, I'm exposing this thing so that you can have a heart change. Because when you get the heart change, the righteousness which is of faith comes on the inside and you begin to recognize this is not condemnation as much as it is a releasing, a freeing. And you begin to recognize the law. And suddenly you're like, Lord, man, I love this. Lord, I love this law. And now it's not, Lord, I love 70 mile an hour speed limits. But Lord, I love the creative power of the Word of God, which instructs me in real concrete ways, which exposes my carnality to myself so that I can see when the picture of Christ and the picture of me aren't lining up, I know what needs to change. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's see here. Because the other, you know, they have the camp, the youth camp there going on in Ohio, and I know, hope it's okay. I listened to, Friday night service, Brother Josh Bennett, you know, pastor from just down the road here, was preaching about idolatry, and man, there was some things that he said, and I was like, man, Lord, this is so good, because he was saying, look, choose you this day. And so many people don't, like, it's like, hey, I just, like, their choice is not God. Right? But that's not a choice. Like, that isn't showing you what you actually chose. It's showing you what you didn't choose. And Joshua didn't say in the scripture, you know, don't choose, you know, whether you don't choose God or you choose God. That wasn't it's like, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he began to just say, hey, look, if you don't want this message, choose something different. But it's not just not this, right? It's like, which idol are you going to choose then? Which God are you going to follow? Because you're going to follow a God. It does. It's not just, no, I'm going to be an atheist. No, there's a God that you're following. It is. And so often what begins to happen is you actually become a God unto yourself. You become your own God. You become your own little monotheistic theocracy, I think. Denomination of one. Nicolaitan of one. Whatever it is, you think, well, wait, Brother Trevor, like, I'm just struggling with a few laws. There's just some things that I just want to kind of go do my own thing. You know, I'm not saying I don't want God. I just want less of him. How much of God did you have to reject before you rejected God? And why is it that you're wanting to reject that? It's because you have become a God unto yourself. It's like, man, Brother Trevor, you have to put it like, that's harsh, because I just wanted to watch these movies and have the message and, you know, my few carve-outs. Or the message and this music, or the message and this thing that the law is rubbing hard against. Well, so choose it. Like, just Like, just be honest with yourself. What are you choosing? What you're saying is I'm choosing to create my own, like to be a God unto myself that says I appreciate my upbringing and that which I've learned, but I'm going to add to that my own things. The only one who can do that is God. So you've become a God unto yourself. It's like, well, hey, there was a few things, but you're, man, I didn't want to say I didn't want God, I wanted me. But that's what's happening. But that's what's happening. And so, you know, we want to, well, maybe that's just something to think about. All right. So let's look at, ooh, there we go. Let's look at this scripture. Let me just kind of just, well, yeah, we'll read this scripture. It's not really all the way to 30. I deleted some and I didn't update that reference. But Jesus comes to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I should read that slide. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." So this is when the law, like literally in a sense, became a person, because this is where Jesus is coming, and you know, he was at the wedding in Cana, and he turns water into wine because Mary comes, and he's like, "Well, hang on, my time isn't yet." Because he knows, you know, I don't know if that's a Daniel 70 weeks thing, or, you know, he's got to wait until that 3.5 year ministry is, right, supposed to start. That's a message 401, but you could look into that if you want. But anyway, you know, and so he comes, and so now here he is at Nazareth, and in a sense what he's doing, he grabs this book, and he says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." In other words, what Jesus is saying is, "I am the Messiah that Moses spoke of. I am the Messiah that David spoke of. I am the Messiah that Isaiah spoke of, that all the prophets through the whole word from Genesis 3:15 until now, that is who I am." And if you want to say you love the law of Moses, well, I am the law of Moses. The law of Moses is the creative power that is now expressed in my person. And it was so, isn't it so wonderful? Because here he is saying, "I am the law of Moses," but here he is saying, what is the idea? To set at liberty them that are bruised. So the law is actually a law of liberty. It is a law that is supposed to be, that it has that creative power of the righteousness of faith with inside of you. It is that law externally is to take and show you this is not who you were meant to be. If you're struggling with this, it's because the character that goes with this isn't present. So come to a freedom. Praise the Lord. So the law becomes a person, and here's that scripture that I referenced. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. The righteousness of the law accuses you, but Jesus isn't accusing you. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me." So the entirety of the law of Moses they're trying so hard to keep is to affect that they would believe who Jesus Christ is. "For he wrote of me, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" So here he is. Here he is manifested. And now the manifestation of the word of God, the manifestation of the law of God in a person is now offensive to those people who are just trying to keep the law. So I don't know if there's any legalists in our midst, you know, who might be offended at the idea that, no, we've got to keep this law like this. And no, we should keep this law like Jesus. This law should show us who he is. This law should draw us into who he is. Not to just, arrange our external lives. Like, let's put it this way. If you could keep the law, if you could do all the things, and you could have your hair right, and the dress is right, and nothing's too tight, and nothing's too this and that, and you're not doing drugs, and you're not telling dirty jokes, and you're not watching R-rated action movies, and you're not, or PG-13. And you're not doing all the non-message stuff that you're not supposed to do. And you think, yeah, I got it. I figured it out. I don't do the non-message stuff. I don't break the law. I do all the stuff I'm supposed to do. I don't really enjoy it. I don't really love God. I don't do it because I love God. I just don't want to go to hell. But bless God, I do the law. So, do we pretend that you're a Christian with you then? Like, was that what the law was supposed to do? Was to just externally arrange your life in a particular manner? Sorry, I grew up in that church. Maybe you did too. Maybe that's been your history. Maybe that's where you've been. But thank God, He's opened our eyes to see that, yes, that may be one presentation, but the truth and the reality is it was always about, it was always relationship. It was always the heart of God. It was always about presenting who He is, that you could come to know Him and love Him. And by the way, if you did keep the law, it probably protected you from a lot of heartache. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Young people, you appreciate your parents with their laws. Okay, that was one. Amen. I mean, it can, it just might protect you. It just might keep you from a lot of agony. Might keep you from a lot of, God, I'm so sorry. I'm just so into that. I can't, oh Lord. I wish this never would have started in my life. Well, maybe the parents' law that you hated so bad was actually expressing a heart for your well-being and for your good. Praise the Lord, because wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So isn't that what this is supposed to do? It's supposed to put on Jesus Christ. It's not just putting on an externality, it's putting on like a person. It's recognizing that within me, that God has used this law to expose that He is trying to call out the seed that He planted in my heart to come to life and begin to come and work its way out through every crack and every pore of my being. To be Him. That is what it's trying to do. And so, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm so happy to get to this quote here, and 12 minutes, great, praise the Lord. Now here, the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, and in the tassel, in the husk, all gathers in the seed. The life that was in the stalk went one to make the other. Justification makes a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection. And so let's just look at what's being said here, because we've often preached, hey, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not changing that. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay? Right? But for why? Like, what's the purpose? So that and often we've talked about, okay, so now you can have, well, all the Pentecostal gifts can happen in your life because you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so, this is where I'm going to get in trouble, but I just, like, this is, man, Lord. But we know, like, let's be honest with ourselves. I am using a PowerPoint slide presentation so that you can read scriptures and quotes. But that, in some circles, is labeled as intellectual. And you all are like, yes, we're that church. Uh-huh. And that said is somehow as if you guys being able to read the same quote that I am reading in front of you is somehow not as power of the Holy Ghost-y as church could be. Help us, Jesus. But I would like, and we can bristle at that, and I do. I don't know if you do, but I do. Like, I'm like, wait, I use PowerPoint. Does that mean you think I'm intellectual? You think I... And so then we're trying... So then what's happening is what the devil would love to do is to drive a wedge there in between fellow believers so that you all are intellectual and these are all... I don't know what we... You know, whether we call it, you know, emotional or, you know, whatever our two sides of the same coin are... But my, let's keep them separate, bless God. Let's, oh my goodness, right? Like these people have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you people have intellectual. Awkward yet? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. But like this is just calling what we can see, right? What we felt, our conversations that we've had with various people. And so, well, let's deal with that. What are we saying? Are we then becoming proud that we are the intellectual ones? Because obviously we enjoy that more. And then we could have all kinds of, you know, ways we could talk about, you know, how they are. Whoever they are and whoever we are, which starts to sound denominational when you say it. But anyhow, and because they, you know, say all these things about us like PowerPoint, you know, like who could ever receive the fire of God because PowerPoint is being on the screen. Like I didn't know what scripture that was either. But hang on a second, justification, which we know, believing in God. God giving you this assurance that you are saved and it is if though and just as if you never did it in the first place. Sanctification, then, that working of grace to clean your life, to come into unity with the law of God, the righteousness of the law, to come into unity with that, both in heart and in deed and in word. And then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is that setting us, that putting you, sanctification, setting, cleaning you up, setting you aside for service. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is putting you into that service, is using you, is infusing you with gifts and power, and yes, speaking in tongues, and yes, having Pentecostal gifts, and yes, having Pentecostal fire. And we don't, like, did we do away with sanctification when we got to baptism of the Holy Ghost? No, we did not. Did we do away with justification when we got to sanctification? No, we did not. But then the whole idea of all three of those is so that the Holy Ghost, making way for the Holy Ghost, the person of Christ, to come down into you in perfection, to unite you with who He is, so that you are you as Him. So when that happens, and we could look at this quote and say, yep, see, we've moved on. See, you call us intellectual, but really what's happening is we've moved on into the person of Jesus Christ. See, we've moved on to the perfection while you all have stayed in Pentecost. But hang on for a moment. Again. Did when this came, did we do away with the fire? Did we do away with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Did we? No, we did not. Just as we didn't do away with sanctification, just as we didn't do away with justification. If the person of Christ is going to come down on the inside of us and live, He is going to do all that He did when He was here on earth. And that is to say then, that actually if we're talking about what is the Holy Ghost doing in our lives, what is the new birth doing in our lives, it is to say we're going through all of these stages. It is to say that yes, it's though I've never done it. That yes, cleanse has happened to me, that yes, I have been filled with a power and a dynamic power in my life that the Lord can use me and speak through me, and that I can pray for someone and cancer is gone, and I can do all of these things because He is doing using that gift in my life. But if it stopped there and didn't continue, not remove, but continue down into now the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the power of the new birth is to now bring that law, bring all the words said, the creative power of the entirety of the word to come down and unite itself in my heart, that the person of Christ has now become born in me, that I am now, that and it's now pushing out this flesh. And I'm looking back and I go, there's so many things I used to do that I don't do now. And I can see that God is moving in my life and I am growing. And so to think that somehow we're going to divide these things and have two camps and we'll just see who does better at the end. I'm not good with that. Say what you want. I'm not good with that. I want the Pentecostal fire to be in my life. You know? I want good services where the faith of people rise up to be delivered and to be healed and all of these things. We need that in our lives. But it doesn't just stop there. We also need to know and recognize that the Word of God has the creative power to change our very lives. It's Henry, right? The Word of God. You want to stand for me? Is that okay? Is this embarrassing to you? It probably is, but just it's okay. The Word of God has such power to make him as though he's never sinned in the first place, to clean him up, to fill him with such a power of the Holy Ghost that even if he comes and says, "Hey, man, you struggling with something? Let's pray," and it's gone. Because you're how old? 12. Because you're 12. Because if you were 11, the Spirit of the Lord wouldn't work in you that way. But because you're 12, you've graduated, and the Spirit of the Lord can now work in you because you're just old enough. Wait, what scripture was that again? Oh, that wasn't there. Right? There was no age limit on this. Right? But also that the Holy Spirit can come and the Word of God can come so into your life and change you that you are way less Henry than you ever thought you'd be, because you're way more Jesus Christ as Henry than you ever thought you could become. And isn't that exactly what the power of the Word of God, the creative power of the Word of God, should do? So I think then if we're the so-called, and maybe even at times wearing the intellectual message patch with pride. Sorry, was that awkward again? But that isn't happening. Then what are we doing? Then what is this message doing in our lives? Then if that's not happening, but we're sitting in message churches and the law is and the law is like, is it being expressed? Is it the power to change us, or isn't it? And if we're listening, like, are we then we have to begin to question, am I listening to the Word of God? Am I in the Word of God? Has the Word of God taken such effect in me? We're at the end times, brothers and sisters. We're not playing around with church anymore. We're not just trying to be different than those message believers and those message believers because we're the better message believers. I am so done with that. That was so 1990s. Can we go already and not recreate that? Even if it's in our own minds because of what somebody who unadvisably said something. Or somebody who is trying to make a point about one thing, and then it became this whole big thing, and then we're like, you know, I've been saying this lately, look, if the shoe don't fit, don't wear it. I get that that's, you know, you think through that one a little bit, but, you know, like, hey, if why am I being offended about somebody saying, you're like this? It's like, man, that don't fit me. I don't know what you're thinking, but that's not me. Okay, then I'm not going to wear that. Okay, Praise the Lord. Just trying to obey the Spirit. You think you're uncomfortable. Woo! Anyway, Brother Trevor's the one that says the things that we're thinking. Okay, so praise the Lord. Hope that was okay. But that, I just felt so strongly to express that. And it's been on my heart for so much time. And I just feel like I want all of it. I'm a part of all of it. I'm justified, sanctified, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost of Himself dwelling in this person. And if and being effectual and changing me. And that means my emotions, that means my thoughts, that means my actions, that means every part of me is becoming Him. And I'm not just curing cancer and still being a jerk. No, God is changing me. The Word of God, the law of God, has creative power to do that. And Brother Branham says in the Church Age book, I wonder if we're sufficiently impressed with the Word in our midst. Are we impressed with this Word that we have? Are we impressed with this message that we have? That if we're not putting the tape recorder into our tape recorder, since it's not 1990 anymore, you know, and pressing play and listening to the voice of this age. Like, okay, so we're using our phones and doing this. Are we or aren't we? I was, I'm at a youth camp just last week. I was in Alaska, had a youth camp, talking to a sister, and, you know, the subject of the table app comes up. And I was like, hope you all have that, you know, on your phones. Like, if you're going to have the stupid smartphone that causes you all kinds of problems, I sure hope you have at least the one thing that can really change your life on your phone. And, you know, one sister speaks up. She's the kind of sister that speaks up a lot. And and she's like, oh yeah, I have it. And I was like, great. You know, I was like, you know, what was the last tape that you listened to? You know, can you go in your play history? And yeah, I think it's the one you told us to play last year. It's like, Lord! Like, This is how I feel, right? Wait a second. What message are you believing? Like, are you a message believer? What message is it that you're believing? I have totally veered off track here, but, well, no, not really. But, like, what message do we believe? Well, you know, the one Brother Barry takes a few quotes from here and there and, you know, and presents to us. That's the message we believe. Like, let's open the world up here. Let's open the Word up here. Let's get to a place. Like, do we recognize the Word of God has this creative power to do this? So the person of God, His very life comes down and is quickened in your own life. To take you out, to deliver you from so many problems. This is the power of the Word of God. And are we impressed with the Word in our midst, or do we have it there? And in July, as the preacher comes along and says, hey, you got the table app? Yep, downloaded it last year when you asked that question. And that's the extent of our connection to this message? So now back channel that, right? Now I'm not connected personally to the Word. If I'm not connected personally to the Word, well, one would have to think that Jesus Christ Himself, if He lived in my heart, would be personally connected to His own Word. Amen. And so if I'm not connected personally to the Word of God, do I even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's giving me the power to get me into that next stage of being that? And if I didn't have... Now, right, if one is going to start, why isn't it going to take us all the way? Why isn't it going to take us all the way? So if I'm not being personally connected to the Word of God, then I have to begin to go, Lord, and maybe this is hard, and maybe this is bristling, and maybe now we're really actually getting awkward, and it's really getting uncomfortable, because now this law that Brother Trevor's like, listen to tapes, you people, and which of course I would say because I'm from Jeffersonville. So I'll just throw that out there if the devil was perching on your shoulder saying, well, that's why he's just a Jeffersonville guy. That's why he says these things is because, you know, obvious. We don't really have to listen to that. We don't ever do that. I mean, he's not actually making a valid point connecting it to Scripture. And it's just politics. Yeah. But if I'm not connecting to the Word of God, the revealed Word of God in this age that he fulfilled, coming down in Revelations chapter 1 and chapter 10 in 1963, and we, you know, I mean, this was a thing for a purpose. This pillar of fire was a thing for a purpose. This isn't just message stuff to make us different. It's God expressing his word. It's God showing us who he is. It's God desiring us. It's God pulling us. It's God bringing us into a place. Are we looking for a body change? Are we looking to take a rapture? Or aren't we? And if we are, then what is that thing? Then what's going to happen is that law is going to have to become a person. It's going to have to come all the way down on the inside. As much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, the law becoming into your heart. Amen. Brother Branham's saying in questions and answers, please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. And there, I cut out just a couple paragraphs, not because I'm trying to not say something, but just for time here. The first conscience controls the body with see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And it's just got us all scrupled up, the reason and everything else. But that new body that comes from this born again, not this first conscience, it'll pass away. It's the inside something that lives. Everybody understand it? Say amen. It's not this outside see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It isn't. It's subject to death and will die. But the inside part of you, down here inside, that is the person that cannot die. See, and that's the person that the new life starts from this new birth. And it builds another person in the image of this person you are around that life. So there's got to be another life be on the inside of you and rebuild this whole new being, the image of Christ, around that life in you. So potentially it's in here. And what is it? The word promised before the foundation of the world. And around there, this only reflects the negative that will reflect the positive, the word. See, and the same thing, the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word, and the same thing did by Sarah. So how are you going to be translated? That must mean the word that has that power, the law of God, which is creative, spoken word, must start becoming material in your life in a thousand different ways. Not in, like, can we even express what God can actually do in your life? We can play at it. We can say, well, he can use you to pray for people and heal cancer, and he can use you to speak a word of encouragement, and he can just use you to be the most beautiful believer, like flower of a message believer, giving out fragrance and beauty to all who behold, that you don't do anything but just like, I'm just a message believer. But I look good and I smell good. The fragrance of my life is amazing. I haven't done anything yet. But people are going, wow, look what the Lord has done. And that should be amazing. And that should be powerful. And that should happen in every single one of our lives. God should be able to come with his word, should come inside of you. And it has that power which can quicken you in such a way that there's such beauty, there's such passion, there's such hope, there's such peace, there's just so much power. All that's amazing is beginning to come inside of you. And it's like, as I say in a lot of youth camps, an amazing God has amazing children. And that's who I am. And that's who I'm becoming. Why? Because the law itself, the entirety of the Word of God being etched in the fleshly tables of this heart that has come to life now and is building around this body, this new life. And this is the idea. And the Word, the person of Jesus Christ, is now coming and inhabiting inside of us. Brothers and sisters, I want all of it. Amen. I Here's what I can tell you. I don't want to be not those message believers. And you can pick your flavor. That's not how I identify. I'm not just not some other person that I disagree with on finer points of this thing or that thing. But I am, if it's in the Word, I'm in it. I'm in all of it. I'll use every part of it. Let God be manifest in me and however He wants to do it. And if it's that, if it's dynamite emotionalism, and that's the flower that God created me, then I'm going to be that for Jesus Christ. And God help me to understand that not everybody is exactly like me. God help me to not have such pride and such arrogance. You all just stop listening. I'll just preach to me for a moment. Like, God, help me not to have such pride and such arrogance that I think, Lord, if all the believers were like me, this would be a better place. Okay, you can start listening again. Because I'm sure nobody else has thought that or ever. Praise the Lord. Thank you, man. Anyway, musicians, why don't you come and I will just say thank you, Jesus. Is this our desires this morning? Is this what we want the Word? Like, what is it that we wanted the Word to do? What is it that we wanted when we came to church this morning? Was it to be religious? Was it to be good? Was it to be... No, it's to come in contact with the Word of God to let the Holy Ghost quicken. To let the Holy Ghost quicken that Word into life. It has to have that kind of power. It cannot be mere intellectualism. And I don't want it to be mere intellectualism, though I am happy to be a so-called intellectual. I am the way God made me. And I'm happy about that. But I want to be the way God made me. With all the power of the Holy Ghost. With all the power of the Word of God quickened inside of me. In whatever way that looks. Praise the Lord. I trust that's okay. The Word that's in you, the body will materialize around the Word. How? What is this? This is His answer. What are we saying? This is His answer to this question. Please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. That's what I want to be. I want to be translated. How is this going to happen? It's because the Word that's in me, the body is going to materialize around that Word, just as it did for Sarah. As Sarah felt like she had no hope, she had hope. And the Word of God produced the promised Son. This is the power of the Word of God. This is the power of the Holy Ghost in you to do all of these things. My prayer is, Lord, justify me, sanctify me, fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Father, let Your person live inside of me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look to You this morning, Lord, we love You, we praise You. Father, I pray, Lord, I spoke what You put on my heart, Lord, and I know it can be so edgy or whatever, Lord, but Father, I just pray that, Lord, that You would use it, that You would soften the edges that need softening, Lord, that You would, Lord, that You would, as Your Holy Spirit goes forth to those here, to those who might stream this, to this, those that might be online later, Lord, I just pray that the words that were spoken, Lord, would just do and be fitting into what You wanted and what You desired, even if my presentation wouldn't have been perfect. But Lord, Your Word is. So Lord, let Your Word do that which it's always done. And let the creative power of that life come and create and live and move. Lord, quicken Your Word in our hearts. We love You, Lord, so much. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bow before You, Lord, in humility. We bow before You in adoration, O God. Lord, forgive us where we fail You. When the law cuts us, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would recognize what's happening. That it is not a restriction, but it is trying to free us. Lord, set us free. Set us free from the places that bind us, Lord God. Oh, let Your Word have its way, Father. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. ahead, brother.
This is your house.
Faith in Him. That's what we need. But if you need prayer this morning, I'm happy to speak with you, to pray with you. Just as we turn it over to our brother, go ahead and sing it again.
This is my desire to honor you, and Lord, with all my heart, I worship. desire church. My desire. Christ alone will I glory. Though I could pride myself in battles won, for I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. Oh, in every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength. His grace I am redeemed. Amen. For only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more. Gains but losses through the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross.
Bless you. We're going to dismiss you. Just want you all to be aware there's a youth service this afternoon. Brother Peter is saying at 4:30 over in the fellowship hall, so if the youth would be mindful of that. Amen. Just have a good time of fellowship. Enjoy the Word of God. Amen. And we'll just sing a song here as we're dismissed. God will make a way. Amen. Friend, God can make a way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in vain, He cannot see. Sure.
church. Thank you.
Amen.